Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yep, they're still going woke and we're still going broke. I think that's a good way to summarize what's happening in this country right now, at the federal level at least anyway, under the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. Let's see, I'm trying to quickly flip through my... Oh, there's one of the headlines there I was thinking of. I'm trying to quickly find a couple of the headlines here to make that point, or at least to share what led me to that thought here this morning. There was a headline about how the Biden Pentagon... Oh, here it is. It's from thedailywire.com, and then we got one from the Fox News First newsletter here on another topic, but related topic here. This is from thedailywire.com. Biden's Pentagon slated to spend nearly $270 million on their diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. Oh, there's an A now. It's DEIA. It's a diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility agenda. They had to add another word to it. DEI wasn't woke enough, so they had to. It's just like LGBT, then they add the Q, then they add the plus, then they add the RSTLNE. You got to keep adding letters because it's never woke enough. You're never going to win the game. You're always going to get outwoked. But the Department of Defense could drop nearly $270 million in taxpayer funds to push this DEI woke agenda. Yesterday, later on in the 9 o'clock hour, we had kind of a frago to the show. We had a great guest on the program, retired Major General Paul Vallely, who lives in Big Fork. And he has just been sounding off on, a whole host of different things, our southern border and more. But, you know, we were talking with him yesterday about how he did this write-up about how now the Pentagon is begging these soldiers to come back. These soldiers were kicked to the curb. They were treated like trash, no matter how many deployments they've been on over the past 20 years. They were kicked to the curb because they didn't want to get forced to take the vaccine. Some service members who had gotten exemptions from other vaccines weren't allowed to get one from the COVID shot. So it was just so outrageous the way that they were treated. But now they're begging them to come back. But you know, as the general and I were talking yesterday, are they really taking it serious? How significant this decline is? How they are failing to meet their recruitment goals and much more? Because if they were actually taking it serious, then they would be fixing a lot more than just saying, "Okay, hey, we got rid of the COVID shot requirement. Hey, we'll clear up your records if you got any negative comments in your paperwork because of not wanting to get the COVID shot. Yeah, come on back." No, there are a whole host of other problems right now, including, and this just shows how, once again, the Biden Pentagon is doubling down on this woke propaganda culture war garbage that is also harming recruitment and retention. And, oh, by the way, Joe Biden's still desperately trying to get us into World War III here. So there's that whole thing, too. The other story involves the Department of Transportation. I'll get to that next.
Here is your Montana news. The sheriff for Bighorn County has been killed in a head-on collision with a semi. Sheriff Darrell King died at the scene Sunday night at milepost 2 of Highway 212, southeast of Crow Agency. While the accident is being investigated, neither speed nor impairment are factors. Colorate reports from a post from Governor Gianforte, Sheriff King gave 17 years to law enforcement and also served in the Marine Corps. While condolences arrived from across the state, including the FBI and BIA, Bighorn County Commissioners promptly swore in Jeremy Middlestead as interim sheriff. Middlestead will serve in the position until a new sheriff is appointed by the commissioners. Now, that new sheriff will serve through 2024, during which time voters will elect a sheriff for the remainder of King's term. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Slee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny conditions across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings from the lower 50s across the Bozeman area to the upper 50s in Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows from around 30 in Bozeman to the upper 30s to around 40 in the Billings area. And then the outlook for Wednesday. Does call for sunny breaks and some clouds, highs from the upper 40s in Bozeman, upper 50s in Billings. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I'll tell you what, whether you're traveling across the state or staying home this Thanksgiving week, we're going to have some great content for you all week long. Montana Talks will be here statewide every Monday through Friday, all the way through Thanksgiving with Montana Talks. Coming up on Tuesday's show, we'll have the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about, and then some great guests joining us on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Hard to believe Thanksgiving already right around the corner. Not only can you call into the show, but you can message us on our Montana Talks app.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. They're still going woke. We're still going broke as a country. I mean, think about it. Here we are, $33-plus trillion in debt. As Cardi B, the female rapper Cardi B, pointed out, that she's going to be swimming in rats in New York City because of the migrant invasion and the defunding of actual city services in places like New York City because of the invasion of illegal aliens. Country's going broke. They're running this country to the ground, but they still got all this money in the world to go woke, it seems. Department of Defense, according to the DailyWire.com, could drop nearly $270 million in taxpayer funds for the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. The DailyWire.com. Here's another one here. This was the twofer that I saw this morning that brought that thought to mind. Internal Senate memo highlights Biden administration's efforts to tie highway funding to woke priorities. According to a Senate GOP memo, billions upon billions of taxpayer dollars meant for infrastructure projects are tied to woke initiatives. Let's see here. The memo, first obtained by Fox News Digital, was sent late Monday evening and spearheaded by Commerce Committee ranking member Ted Cruz, who is planning to author legislation that would prohibit the Department of Transportation from tying federal funds to left-wing priorities. It particularly targets DOT's management of three grant programs that serve as key vehicles to fund various types of surface transportation projects nationwide. Billions upon billions of taxpayer dollars meant for infrastructure projects are tied to woke initiatives that are more focused on dismantling America's infrastructure in the name of equity and climate change than on building roads, bridges, and highways to connect the country. Congress must not allow the Department of Transportation to push the absurd concept of racist roads to prevent Americans from getting much-needed improvements to their highways. The funding notices issued by DOT should focus on the law as written, not on woke priorities. So there you go. We're going broke, but they're still going woke and using, you know, billions of our taxpayer dollars in order to push this. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. I do have a woke update for you as well. I was just thinking, since Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we're going to have some great holiday specials for you from Fox News and more on Thursday morning show. So we won't have David Noble in the house with us for a woke update. But don't worry, Tim and Savage gave us a great woke update of the week. Actually, I think he sent us a couple of them. I'll get to both of those woke updates here in just a second. But first, Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines already this morning. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. I want to touch down on three subjects here. I want to mention the H.R. 2 bill that did pass our House. And it's going to stop Biden's open border policy, but Biden has threatened to veto this bill, so that is not good news. And I just want to say that it's a shame. I think that our Senate and our Congress get way too much time off. We have so much work to do, and there's a backlog of bills that need to be passed, and everything else that's going on in the country and the world, they really should just take Thanksgiving off, get the weekend, and get back to work Monday like everybody else. I don't know about your opinion, but that's mine.
Yeah.
And I just want to
say, although in part, I would say that when they leave Washington and when they're on so-called recess, I also would say that that is important time for them to actually be hearing from their actual bosses back here in Montana too. So that's one caveat I would add to it. But when they're not getting spending bills across the finish line, I think the point is taken. Like, hey, stay back there, get the job done, right?
Right, and like you're talking about our spending, I mean, this new House spending bill, $14 billion to Israel, another $76 billion to Ukraine. We don't even see any war footage. We don't know where this money is going, nothing. There's reports that a lot of the military equipment that the United States has sent Ukraine is missing. I mean, it's just disgusting. And I want to talk a little bit about the United States submarine fleet. This is one thing that China, that Xi Jinping was actually terrified of. And because we have a slow-thinking administration in the White House, China is actually narrowing down the biggest gap separating the United States and Chinese military as it makes advances in submarine technology and undersea detection capabilities. And all this is for a military coup for a conflict over that Taiwan. And I'm fearful that Taiwan is going to be the reason that a possible World War III will begin. And I just want to remind everyone that it's hard to believe, but November 22nd, 1963, that was 60 years ago, John F. Kennedy was assassinated as his motorcade wound its way through Dallas, Texas. And I had a debate yesterday with somebody who wrote a book on the 50s and 60s. He disagrees that the CIA had anything to do with JFK's death, and I have always thought that our government had him killed for several different reasons. And I know that Lee Harvey Oswald had ties to the CIA. I mean, that's kind of what I want to touch on.
Well, Democrat presidential candidate RFK Jr. sure believes that at least Dulles, who was a CIA director, right, was involved with the assassination of his father, the brother of JFK. And by the way, that story that you're talking about there, Nancy, about the era of total U.S. submarine dominance over China is ending. That's a big piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Just came out, just published, I believe, last night. Nancy, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. I'd say quick break here on Montana Talks, but actually this is an extended break, but that's because we're sneaking in a lot of news and, of course, our Farm and Ranch report as well. But phone lines are open for you, 294-09. All right, we got all sorts of content on our Montana Talks website right now. What were the top 30 songs of 1983? That's kind of a fun one. Plus, will this new edition bring bigger concerts to Montana? That's a headline from one of our contributors in Bozeman. In Missoula, left-wing activists defaced the M with a Palestinian flag cover-up. We've got the photo of that and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com or download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. You'll see it all there.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the time has come to talk turkey. And the big question these days is supply chain snarls and the supply of commercially available birds. Here's our network's Rachel Gable with more from Colorado State University.
Colorado State University supply chain expert, College of Agricultural Sciences economist Don Thilmany, said high pathogen avian influenza had a lot of shoppers fearing higher prices for Turkey Day. Here she is.
This year, it's actually being far more problematic in the migratory bird flocks and so non-commercial birds. So we actually have seen supplies recover relative to last year, and that's translating to lower turkey prices this Thanksgiving. They still won't be what they were, what people might have considered normal pre-COVID, but they're definitely significantly down compared to last year.
With COVID in the rearview mirror, Thilmany said normal-ish is back, but differently.
For the most part, we're turning to normal, and you're seeing people look for the sizes that we had seen historically. But this is where it's important to look at a bigger, longer-term trend, which is we just have smaller household sizes in the U.S. than we had, say, 25 years ago. So we have people gathering again, but we have smaller households than we did 25 years ago. So you still see there's a lot of interest in smaller turkeys because of convenience and people not wanting to have the 4-hour cook times. We still have seen relatively higher demand for parts like turkey breast, particularly.
For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And whether you're enjoying a traditional turkey dinner or opting for a different protein, we certainly hope your holiday is a happy and abundant one. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, if you're looking for some high-quality stock cows or bred heifers this fall, Montana Livestock Auction in Ramsey is the place to be Tuesday, November 21st. Already on the books, 40 head of Red Angus bred heifers, March calvers. Here's 45 head of Angus bred heifers, April calvers. Here's 45 head of Angus bred 3-year-old stock cows, mid-March and April calvers. These are one-iron type cattle. And 30 head of Angus 7- to 8-year-old stock cows, February, March calvers. For complete listings, visit MontanaLivestockAuction.com. Ranchers, Paint Rock Angus is your altitude-proven Angus seed stock source. And Tuesday, November 21st, is their annual fall sale at the ranch in Hyattville, Wyoming. They'll sell 245 yearling bulls that are full of substance, bone, width, and proven performers in every environmental condition, not to mention loaded with calving ewes. All sale bulls are BVD PAP and semen tested. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock and DV Auction. For more information, visit paintrockangus.com. Well, the pork industry is awaiting action by USDA ahead of November 30th on whether processing plants can move to the faster line speeds that a few facilities have been allowed to use in a time-limited trial. The National Pork Producer Council says that for over two decades, harvest facilities have shown that increased inspection speeds can be maintained without compromising food or worker safety. And it says sufficient harvest capacity is critical to allow America's producers to continue producing high quality and nutritious U.S. pork. And finally this morning, continuing a program that has proven successful in recent years, the American Sheep Industry Association will once again offer grants to developing shears and mentors. However, applications are due January 1. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, the cost of a Thanksgiving meal is still outrageously high. Just for the record, just in case anybody was trying to put out some other type of fake news. Oh, no, no, it's cheaper this year. It's cheaper this year for a Thanksgiving meal. Sure it is. Let's see. We've got some numbers in front of us here. First off, there's a, and I'll get to the woke updates here in a second, but since we're following the Farm and Ranch Report, this is always interesting because the American Farm Bureau Federation always puts out some numbers on what the cost of a typical Thanksgiving meal might look like. Here we go. Thanks to Bidenflation, the cost of your family's Thanksgiving meal is still outrageously high. This is from thefederalist.com. Americans who plan to serve their family and friends a traditional Thanksgiving feast on Thursday will once again need to dig deep into their hurting pocketbooks to pay for it. This is according to the new data from the American Farm Bureau Federation. To feed a family of 10 a Thanksgiving turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, buttered rolls, cranberries, veggies, and a pumpkin pie topped with whipped cream, this year the average American will shell out $61.17. American Farm Bureau Federation, which highlights holiday food prices annually, noted that the cost of the 2023 feast is down slightly from the record high in 2022, but warned that this year's Turkey Day meal still reflects historically high costs. Americans are basically, Americans are still paying 25% more for Thanksgiving staples than they did in 2019. But see, this is how Biden's buddies try to spin stories like a Thanksgiving meal, like the cost of a Thanksgiving meal. Oh, no, the price is down. The price is up 25% since 2019. But see, that's what they do, though. They similar with oil and gas prices, et cetera. Let's skyrocket the price way up to the ceiling, and then when we're still hanging from the rafters, we're like, oh, well, we came down a little bit. because we're not glued to the ceiling. Instead, we're just, you know, hanging from the rafters. It's like we're still pretty high up here right now. And anyway, that's some of the numbers. Let's see. RNC Research shared some interesting numbers via Twitter as well. Let's see. Since 2019, the cost of a 16-pound turkey has risen by 31.5%. Rolls are up 54%. Stuffing's up 41%. And is that how you say it? Russet potatoes are up 30%. Other items like canned cranberries, canned pumpkin, and the potatoes have seen double-digit percentage increases over the past year. Price for a ham is near its all-time high. Now, here's the thing. If you're a potato farmer, if you're a pork producer, are you getting more money for your product? Oh, no, you're paying more in input prices, energy, everything else, and then, you know, inflation's hitting you, too. So people are paying more money for their food, but yet the people who grow the food and raise the food aren't getting more money out of the deal either. Thanks a lot, John Tester.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says there is progress on a hostage release deal.
The final details are being discussed for what would be a five-day ceasefire to stop the fighting on the ground inside Gaza. The leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, said overnight that a truce agreement is approaching. Now, he's in Doha, Qatar, and the Qataris have been working overtime to try to get some sort of agreement together.
Fox's Trey Yanks. Four people are shot and wounded at a Walmart in Beaver Creek, Ohio. No word on a motive.
The shooter has died. It appears as though he's died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Police Captain Scott Molnar. Pre-Thanksgiving travel could be rough for millions in the eastern part of the country.
Heavy rain, strong winds, the risk for hail and isolated tornadoes will continue for the central Gulf Coast and the southeast today. Snow and freezing rain could cause issues for parts of the northeast through Wednesday.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's see. I did a couple of woke updates already here. The internal Senate memo highlights the Biden administration efforts to tie highway funding to woke priorities. We went over that story from FoxNews.com. And then we covered the Daily Wire's report about how the Biden Pentagon is slated to spend nearly $270 million on the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. So we're going broke and they're still going woke and spending a whole lot of money in order to do so. A couple other woke updates. One's pretty comical, and then the other's like, are you kidding me? Do you women realize what's waiting for you? Western women, progressive Western women, are converting to Islam. They're becoming Muslims. And they're sharing the reasons on social media following the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks. These progressive Western women are saying, oh, big Hamas terrorist attacks. We're going to become Muslim. No joke. Let me wait till you hear that story here in just a second. First of all, I want to go back to a story that Nancy and Roundup called in about. Yeah, there's a Wall Street Journal report here to the point she was making. The era of total U.S. submarine dominance over China is ending. For decades, the United States has not had to worry much about China's submarines. They were noisy and easy to track. The Chinese military, meanwhile, struggled to detect America's ultra-quiet submarines. Now, China is narrowing one of the biggest gaps separating the U.S. and Chinese militaries as it makes advances in its submarine technology and undersea detection capabilities with major implications for American military planning for a potential conflict over Taiwan. Earlier this year, China put to sea a nuclear-powered attack submarine with a pump jet propulsion system instead of a propeller. Satellite imagery showed it was the first time noise-reducing technology used on the latest American submarines had been seen on a Chinese submarine. A few months earlier, satellite images of China's manufacturing base for nuclear-powered submarines in the northeastern city of Huladao showed hull sections laid out in the complex that were larger than the hull of any existing Chinese submarine. A second modern construction hall at the plant was finished in 2021, indicating plans to boost output. So while the Chinese are expanding nuclear submarine capability, increasing their detection, their avoidance capabilities, our woke Biden administration, Pentagon, is spending $270 million to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. And meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg's Department of Transportation is taking the money that should be spent to build infrastructure and to improve infrastructure, and instead they're calling them racist roads, and they're diverting money that should be going to building and improving infrastructure to instead attacking infrastructure as racist, because everything is racist, according to the Democrats these days.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring. Couple of woke updates this week. Normally every Thursday we do a woke update of the week when our friend David Noble joins us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour of the program. But hey, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we're going to have some Fox News holiday specials for you from 6 to 8, and then we're going to have some great best of programming from 8 to 10 on Thanksgiving morning for you. So some great content that some of you may have missed, and some of it will be new to many of our listeners as well. So that's what's coming up Thursday. So let's get some woke updates in. I think both of these were sent to me at one point by our friend Tim and Savage. Let's see, this one's been around for a few days now. But I don't know if you guys saw this one. She's like the Elizabeth Warren of the music industry. Did you guys hear about this lady? Does she identify as a lady? I don't know. Did I just misgender, mispronoun, pronunciate, whatever? Who knows? Anyway, apparently, this woman is a, and God help me with my French pronunciations here. Is it Saint Marie, something like that? Anyway, yeah, like I said, not good with the French pronunciations here. But apparently, this woman is a star singer in Canada. And you know, Canada's they've actually had a lot of big musicians, big Hollywood celebrities that have come out of Canada. Travis probably did like a trivia night one night at the pub. They probably did a whole night where they said, you know, where they did a whole trivia night focused on famous Canadian actors and singers. But anyway, apparently this lady is a star Canadian singer, Buffy Saint Marie, anyway, she had told everybody that she was an Indigenous woman of color. And she used that to kind of, you know, increase her fame and you know, to become apparently a bigger deal in Canada. I've never heard of her before, so I guess she's a star Canadian singer. But, you know, I haven't heard of her down here in the United States, so who knows. But anyway, apparently it's all fake. It's all a lie. Star Canadian singer is apparently not Indigenous. She's not Native. She's actually was born in Stoneham, Massachusetts, to white parents. Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard, also had previously referred to Elizabeth Warren as a fake Indigenous woman of color. So now you've got a star Canadian singer. So, yeah, for Tim and Billings, here's another one. We get all these liberal college professors. We get these entertainers who, you know, they have to be special. So they can't be white. They can't just be some white girl from Stoneham, Massachusetts. You got to be special. You got to be different. And sometimes even being Indigenous isn't enough anymore. No, you have to be a man pretending to be a woman. You have to check multiple woke checkboxes to be special these days. So, and how many of them are all lying about it? That was one woke update of the week there for you. What was another woke update of the week for you? This story just came out yesterday. This one's crazy. Absolutely crazy here. I think Tim and Savage sent this one to us as well. progressive Western women are converting to Islam, sharing reasons on social media since the October 7th Hamas terror attacks. Hoover Institution research fellow Ayan Hirsi Ali issued a warning on the new trend during America's Newsroom, arguing that young women are throwing away their freedom with the decision. She told Dana Perino on Monday, "You are converting to throwing away your freedoms as a woman. Islamic scripture, Islamic law, Sharia law, and Islamic practice is crystal clear about the position of women, and it is inferior to men. Your testimony is half that of a man. Your husband can beat you. You have absolutely no freedom." The left-leaning women making the decision to convert have shared their religious diversion on TikTok, with many wearing the hijab, reading the Quran, attending pro-Palestinian protests, and even learning Arabic as they accuse Israel of genocide. One activist, Alex, who is... I'm reading from the Fox News story. I'm not making this up. One activist, Alex... I'll take crazy identifiers for 500, Alex. One activist, Alex, who is a self-proclaimed leftist queer gremlin, took her shahada shortly after purchasing the Quran to officially dedicate herself to the Islamic faith. Oh, man. A leftist queer gremlin just decided to become Muslim. Now... the leftist queer gremlin wears a hijab and holds live readings of the Quran after founding the virtual World Religion Book Club. Good night. See, man. You know, and we were all wondering, why is it that these same leftists are showing up with the same Dr. Fauci masks at all of these pro-Palestinian protests? It's the next thing. And the next thing is apparently converting to becoming a Muslim, even if you're a, a leftist queer gremlin. Even if you're a leftist queer gremlin, you can keep your Fauci mask on, throw on a hijab, and now you're more woke than everybody else. Just like that. Just like that. 406-294-0970 is the number. Cardi B is waking up, though. The black female rapper Cardi B, man, she is seeing firsthand the results of this illegal alien invasion in places like New York City and elsewhere. And so she apparently went on social media. I don't know if it was an Instagram post, where it was. I saw it on X.com. But, man, she is sounding off about Joe Biden's policies and the destruction it is causing in places like New York City. I'll play that for you here in just a second, but... you know, I mentioned Tim and Billings. Tim and Billings now on the phone lines. Yeah, Tim, man, what'd you think of these woke updates this morning?
Oh my gosh, Aaron! The gremlin,
the leftist queer gremlin.
Oh my gosh!
Don't feed her after midnight.
Yeah, don't get her wet either. She might have to take a bath, you know, instead of having the, what is that stuff called, patchouli?
Yeah. we found the woman who painted the M above the Cat Grizz game, the Palestinian flag colors. It was the leftist queer gremlin named Alex.
Aren't these people supposed to be smashing the patriarchy? Smash the patriarchy! And then they're going to go become subservient to a guy that can beat them or stone them to death or rape them if they think that they've done something wrong. You know, because that's what Hamas believes. It's just insanity. It's just absolute, complete insanity.
Yep, bowing down to the Muslim patriarchy is the wokest thing ever, isn't it?
Oh, man. But yesterday, I learned we have a new holiday yesterday. Yesterday was the Trans Day of Remembrance.
Yeah, that's right.
26 people in the history of the United States who are trans who have died by violent means. But let's not worry about the 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. Let's not give them a day or a month or a week. It's like every other day we get another week or month or some sort of recognition for trans and whatever the other alphabet soup characters, you know, want. And this administration and our culture, we're going down in flames. And, you know, it's like you have to laugh or else you're going to go crazy because it is just absolute insanity. The inmates are running an asylum and, you know, heaven forbid, there's any sort of traditional values left in this world anymore.
Hey, by the way, so you mentioned, I was going to save this story for, I'm glad you mentioned it, though. I was going to save this story about the Transgender Day of Remembrance. Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House was celebrating Transgender Day of Remembrance, and she said this: "We grieve the 26 transgender Americans who were killed this year. Year after year, we see that these victims are disproportionately Black women and women of color." Look, we don't want to see anybody victims of crimes, right? Victims of murder.
Right.
That's what we're seeing in these leftist-run cities. But I don't know if you saw this, Greg. Is it Greg Ree or Greg Ray via Twitter? There is no link to transphobia in any of these 26 cases. At least three died while committing acts of violence themselves. One of the 26 transgender Americans killed this year, Devani J. Ray Johnson, tried to murder a security guard with a fire extinguisher and a screwdriver. That is who the White House was honoring as they spit on dead Christians in Nashville. That was the tweet from Greg Ree via X.com.
Exactly right. Well, and there was another stat I found, that and out of the 26 that there were, like 23 of them were also sex workers. You know, not to minimize anybody's life, but it's like,
and many
I'm
of
sorry,
them are,
but
many of them are killed by their partners.
Yeah, exactly right.
Hey, hold that thought, Tim. We got to hit the hard break, but stand by. We'll come back to you if you can right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You're bragging about an economy that has two-thirds of Americans at best living paycheck to paycheck. Many of those very same people, you know, they're tapping into pensions at very high penalties to get that money just to make ends meet, just to get bare necessities. And the same for people that are using credit cards with very high interest rates. I'm reading in some cases as high as 30% interest rates that, you know, just need them for bare necessities. I mean, it's a disaster. You know, the real estate industry is collapsing, except in wealthy states that people want to go to, like Florida, Texas, the Carolinas, Tennessee. Those states are doing pretty well.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, Black Friday savings start right now at Blinds.com with up to 50% off everything. That includes big doorbusters. Blinds.com has everything you will need to upgrade your entire home. Plus, with professional design consultants, installation services, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, Blinds.com makes it easy. Shop now, Blinds.com, their Black Friday sale, and save up to 50% off everything and big doorbusters. That's up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
December 6th, the final GOP debate of the year is on News Nation, America's fastest-growing cable news network. SiriusXM's Megyn Kelly, News Nation's Elizabeth Vargas, and the Washington Free Beacon's Eliana Johnson moderate a live primetime event from the University of Alabama as the candidates make their case to America on the only network for all America. The News Nation Republican Primary Debate, live December 6th, 8 Eastern. To find News Nation on your TV, go to joinnn.com.
06-214-3899. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, here's the proof. We could have another Cat Grizz game very soon in
warriorproject.org. Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I know Tim and Billings had a really good point he was about to make. That's why I hated to interrupt him there, but I was like, oh, man, we got a hard break I got to hit right now. Thankfully, I figured he could stick around and wait a couple more minutes. Tim, what was that point you were going to make about the Transgender Day of Remembrance being celebrated at the White House? I know you were just about to make a really good point right before that last break.
Well, it kind of feels like there's a whole genre of movies and books. I think one of the books is The World's Most Dangerous Game, and where people of influence and power will sit back and they'll allow other people to hunt somebody that they think to be less than human, or, you know, the surviving the game was one back in the 90s. And there's a whole genre of movies like that. And it kind of feels like the whole woke industry, that's what they're doing. They're winding up the transgender people, send them out into the streets, and they sit back and they just watch them annihilate themselves.
And the rest of us are sitting there thinking, gosh, what in the world is going on? And they just, it's just amazing to me that, you know, they seem to get such joy out of it. You know, it's insanity.
Yeah, you kind of described it to me briefly during the break. You said these folks on the left and these policymakers on the left, it's almost like they just like, how did you say it? They wind them up. They just wind them up and then watch the whole thing spit out of control. It's like a game to them. They just love watching all the chaos they create.
Yeah, it's which is great for government, because then government can come up with some sort of solution. You know, it's funny. I was in Helena over the weekend and I was talking with a fellow and we were talking about certain infrastructure things and how they were nice in Helena. And I said, well, you know, we're in the capital of the state of Montana. And I said, there's an entire industry of spending other people's money.
Oh, yeah. You know, fancy buildings.
Exactly. So it's like not only is the capital here, but people who work for companies that work for the state or they influence the state, or, you know, it's just this whole niche industry on finding ways to spend other people's money. And that's basically what all of government is.
Well, and having a big fancy building is a way of saying, look at us. We're important. We're powerful.
Exactly.
Look at our big fancy building. Right. And so give us more of our taxpayer dollars because we have a big fancy building here in Helena.
Well, I was talking with a fellow the other day, and what I find to be amazing is we had the Batten building here in Billings. You know, it had to get condemned because of the asbestos.
Yeah, the federal courthouse, yeah.
And then a private company came in. The private company came in. They were able to mitigate that. They used it as a tire storage or something like that for a couple of years. And then we turn around and the city is buying it. It's like, how many times do the taxpayers have to pay for the same stupid building that we could have just probably mitigated and let the federal employees work in some, you know, like when Huntley Friday schools broke down, those kids, they went to school in mobile trailer, you know, temporary trailers and stuff like that. Those federal workers could have done that for us.
Yeah, no temporary trailers for the federal employees. Taj Mahals. Only Taj Mahals for federal employees. The school kids get to sit in temporary trailers. The teachers get temporary trailers. And the West High kids didn't have air conditioning in August when it was 100 degrees out, even though they could have used COVID-19 federal dollars to pay for a new AC system. But shut up and wear your mask.
The Lincoln Center's AC works fine.
I bet it does. Now, back to this Transgender Day of Remembrance, where the White House was celebrating Transgender Day of Remembrance. Again, three people died while committing acts of violence. Several were killed by their partners. I mean, sad all around, nonetheless. There was no link to transphobia in any of these cases. They were killed by their fellow transgenders oftentimes. But here's the other deal. I mentioned this. The Devani J. Ray Johnson, who was one of the 26 transgender Americans remembered by the White House yesterday, tried to murder a security guard with a fire extinguisher and a screwdriver. Get this. There's another one. And, Tim, thanks for the call. The other one is Tortuguita. Tortuguita is one of the 26 transgender Americans the White House was mourning today. This is from Greg Ray, shared again via Twitter. Tortuguita shot his 9mm pistol four times, striking and seriously injuring a Georgia state trooper. But Tortuguita got remembered at the White House yesterday. Insane.